I am Irving Layton, and I want to begin this reading with a poem that means a great deal to me, summing up much of my experience and possibly some of the wisdom derived from that experience. I've called the poem, There Were No Signs. My feeling is that one has to make the signs along the road that one travels, and not wait for someone else to put the signs up for you. There were no signs. By walking, I found out where I was going. By intensely hating, how to love. By loving, whom and what to love. By grieving, how to laugh from the belly. Out of infirmity, I have built strength. Out of untruth, truth. From hypocrisy, I weave directness. Almost now I know who I am. Almost I have the boldness to be that man. Another step, and I shall be where I started from. I believe that the poet lives in two realms, the realm of the imagination and the realm of fact or reality, and that he's not happy, truly happy, completely happy, in either realm. And to that degree, he is something of a misfit, particularly in a world such as ours is today, organized around the centrality of fact, the importance of fact. And therefore, anyone who wants to live in the world of imagination finds it even more difficult today, in our century, than, say, the imaginative poets of previous centuries. I wrote a poem several years ago called The Swimmer. And the swimmer is my symbol for the poet who cannot live either on dry land, which he finds skull-like and deathly, nor can he live all the time in the creative element of the imagination, here symbolized by water. The swimmer. The afternoon foreclosing, see the swimmer plunges from his raft, opening the spray corollas by his act of war. The snakeheads strike quickly and are silent. Emerging, see how for a moment a brown weed with marvelous bulbs he lies imminent upon the water, while light and sound come with a sharp passion from the gonad sea around the poles and break in bright cockle shells about his ears. He dives, floats, goes under like a thief, where his blood sings to the tiger shadows in the scentless greenery that leads him home. A male salmon down fretted stairways through underwater slums. Stunned by the memory of lost gills, he frames gestures of self-absorption upon the skull-like beach. Observes with instigated eyes the sun that empties itself upon the water, and the last wave romping in to throw its boyhood on the marble sand. Several years ago, I taught English to newcomers, and one of my students was a Mrs. Fornheim. She had been driven out of Vienna when the Nazis occupied that city, fled to Paris with her husband, and then when the Vichy government was formed that collaborated with the Nazis, she fled to Spain and Portugal and finally came to Montreal, where I taught her and her husband English. If you've ever had the experience of teaching English to newcomers, you know that their common plaint is, oh, if I only had someone to talk to. Meaning, of course, if I only had someone on whom I could practice this newfangled tongue of English on. And I've incorporated that plea or plaint in my poem. She died of cancer, and this is my poem for her. Mrs. Fornheim, refugee. Very merciful was the cancer, which first blinding you altogether, afterwards stopped up your hearing. At the end, when death was nearing black glove to gather you in, you did not demur or fear one you could not see or hear. I taught you Shakespeare's tongue, not knowing the time and manner of your going. Certainly, if with ghosts to dwell, German would have served as well. Voyaging lady, I wish for you an English woman to talk to, an unruffled listener, and greet.